Welcome back to the Bros and Beers podcast. My name is James and I am joined here today by my co-host Vian. How are you doing, bro?
Oh, amazing in yourself, brother.
You know, could be better. Varsity's been sort of on our case as of late, but you know, this is sort of to be expected with third year. I don't know. How's varsity treating you?
It's hectic, but we're pushing through. At least we've got days like this where we can sit back, relax, drink a beer and speak about what we want to speak about.
Yeah, I think it's almost therapeutic, these podcasts.
Ooh, yeah, definitely.
It's a wonderful way to, you know, take the edge off and just have a chat about some of the stuff we're enjoying.
Yeah, I can agree. And speaking about something that we enjoy, something that I really enjoy, is this Tafel Lager.
Yes, this is quite a surprise to us. We only sort of recently discovered Tafel Lager, and it's definitely fast moving up the list to one of our favorite beers here at the Bros and Beers podcast. So definitely stay tuned for the beer tasting, because this puppy's going to score real high.
Yeah, I can feel it already. But some interesting facts. In the last episode, we struggled to find some facts about Windhoek, which is also a Namibian beer.
Okay.
So this Tafel, like I just said, is a Namibian beer. It is the most popular beer in Namibia.
Hectic.
It's kind of like a castle here in South Africa.
Okay.
And it's imported. We do not have the license to make the beer here in South Africa. It is imported.
Right from the homeland of Namibia, brought straight to us. Wonderful. So it could be classed as an international beer, technically.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool. And it's also one of the beers that is international, that is not licensed to brew here. So Tafel Lager in Namibia tastes like Tafel Lager tastes here.
Ah, that's cool. So there's no sort of trickery with maybe the water's a little different, yeah. You know. So it's got a slight different flavor. This is as authentic as it comes.
And I love it. I really love it. And then like Castle that sponsors our national team, the Bokke, Tafel Lager sponsors their soccer team called Tafel Lager Brave Warriors Soccer Team.
Okay.
Yeah, so cool. I like how they're doing the same things, and I love this beer, so props to them.
So I have a story to tell you, right? My aunt, her son, he's sort of 11, 12-ish, you know, and he's getting to that age where, you know, at school they start speaking about, you know, careers and what you want to do, and he's expressing a lot of interest into becoming a YouTuber.
Okay, that's interesting. I feel even for us millennials, that seems like a odd career choice. I mean, we deal with it, but it's still not something we grew up wanting to be, if that makes any sense.
No, definitely. It's quite strange. And that's why she came to me specifically to sort of express concern. You know, she's not too familiar with sort of the YouTube scene and, you know, whether it's a viable option as a career and whatever. So she came to me to ask about, you know, can her son do this? What's required to sort of get him started? You know, he wants to become a game commentator. So, you know, much like how PewDiePie, Jacksepticeye, and Markiplier started off with, you know, gameplay running in the background and then some commentary over it. So it's not even like it's the most extravagant form of being a YouTuber. You know, he's not vlogging his life, or, you know, giving makeup tutorials on how to do eyeshadow or whatever. So it's quite interesting. And I think it highlights a sort of switch in the youth. And I think it sort of started maybe with our generation, how career choices are really become like really changing. You know, this sort of conventional idea of a 9-to-5 job is very quickly falling away. And now kids, instead of expressing interest into becoming a fireman or a police officer, you know, here they are shouting at the top of their lungs, hey, I want to be a YouTuber.
Yeah, that's really weird. I mean, even when I grew up, I thought I was going to be a fireman or a police officer, like you said, but I think we were kind of conditioned into thinking that's what we needed to do. Like you said, we need to work a 9-to-5 job. And here we are. I never thought we're studying film. And I always thought you needed to know someone that knew someone that knew someone to get into the film industry. And here we are busy getting our degree in filmmaking. And I think that's amazing. And I strongly believe that it is possible for the conventional 9-to-5 job to fall away completely.
Yes, I agree completely. You know, I think that the corporate sector really has to sort of change and adapt to sort of fit with the sort of new influx of people who will one day be working in the world and will be sort of taking these roles, but not necessarily in the way we expect, you know. And it's what's even stranger is that my aunt's son, he's not even from like Miami or, you know, one of these cities where you'd expect a YouTuber to come from because it's so popular there, you know. They're from a small city called Middelburg, you know, way out in Mpumalanga.
In the middle van Nerens.
Yeah, basically, you know. So to have this mindset come from someone like him in such an isolated area, it's quite strange. And it shows how quickly the world is changing. As I said, you'd expect behavior from this, from someone maybe in Cape Town, you know, where there is a booming film industry and there's a lot of travel vloggers who make their way down to Cape Town. So they sort of are exposed to it. But, you know, his only exposure to it has been through the internet. And the fact that he's linked that with a successful career option or, you know, a successful hobby shows that the mindset of children is changing very quickly. And I think us as a society, our mindsets need to change too.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, what's going to be in the future? What jobs are going to be available in the future? I think our mindset around that has to change because SpaceX is going up to Mars soon. We need people to do certain jobs there. So you need to start thinking about other job options that are going to be open in the future. Yeah, and this segues nicely into a list I've compiled about the top 5 future jobs that are going to be available.
Okay, that's interesting. Why don't you start us off right on the bottom of the list?
Okay, so I think the most boring one that I found was a digital currency advisor.
Ugh, so like a future accountant.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like an accountant too, and it kind of is. This whole cryptocurrency craze going around the world with Bitcoin and Ethereum and all this new coins coming out. I'm a strong believer, though, that cryptocurrency is going to take over the world.
Okay.
And therefore, I think that we need a digital currency advisor because it's going to become like real money. Mm. We're going to start buying food and groceries and actual stuff with this currency. And we're going to have someone be like, hey, you're spending too much money, but you need to sort your life out.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. If you think about it, Bitcoin it's an international currency, you know, that can be used around the world.
Mm.
And that's extremely powerful because it means that this currency doesn't sort of fall victim to what a country does. You know, like in South Africa, we have one parliament meeting and then the world's like, no. And then the rand plummets, you know. I'm not trying to comment on like our political structure and whatever. But I'm just saying, you know, this is what happens. It's a reality, whether we like it or not. So to have that security in a currency that isn't linked to a country, you know, that's very powerful. So I think a job like this will be very, very prevalent in the future. And if I'm not mistaken, there's the name of the country slips me, but it's sort of up north somewhere near like Norway and Scandinavia and whatever. There's a small city that has gone entirely digital with its currency. So there's no more physical money. Everything is sort of done online and through the use of blockchain currency. So kind of like Bitcoin. So, I mean, it shows that this isn't even something that's far in the future. It's being developed now. So to all the accountants out there, maybe you should start changing your game plan and start looking into this stuff. Because who knows? Maybe you'll be the financial advisor to one of the biggest blockchain cryptocurrency banks in the world. Who knows?
Yeah, and something else that's really popular lately is 3D printing.
Ah, yes. As mentioned in our previous podcast about 3D printing rocket nozzles.
So they want to start 3D printing it's kind of difficult to explain, but there's going to be an engineer designing 3D printed food.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, that's pretty hectic.
So, if correct me if I'm wrong here, this is sort of somebody who engineers the designs behind 3D printing food.
Yeah, I mean, 3D printing food might become huge. Imagine McDonald's going around 3D printing your already plastic chips or something.
So I doubt that's the case. I'm sure it's more along the lines of like 3D printing tons and tons of cheese, or you know,
probably, yeah,
like a basic food ingredient, yeah, that'll be involved in something else. Hey, maybe in the future, you know, we struggle with farming, so we 3D print avocados.
Imagine, oh, that'll be hectic. Then on the topic of 3D printing, I find this one really interesting.
So this is the next one.
This is the next one. Yes, okay. This is a 3D printing organs/body parts.
Okay, so I've read about this, like this, okay, is this is already started, you know, okay, about them 3D printing like cartilage for ears and whatever. So this, I think this is probably the one that's going to be implemented the soonest. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, like literally last week, South Africa was the first country in the world to 3D print the middle ear bones, the three small bones in your ear, and then successfully transplant those into a person. So, I mean, it just shows that this isn't the future. This is happening now.
I don't even know about that. I remember watching a video on YouTube explaining how the future of 3D printing hearts and like heart, what do you call those clippies inside the heart?
Like valves? Your ventricles?
This is your vein, the little thingy that opens and closes to pump blood through.
Yeah, so it's your atrium or your ventricles, or I don't know the name.
Sorry for putting you on the spot.
The name slips my mind.
But anyway, they want to start 3D printing body parts that are internal.
Whoa.
Yeah, so that your body, instead of asking for a donor, you actually get a 3D printed version of your own stem cells, then creating with your stem cells something that can go in your body without it being rejected.
Wow. So to all those people who are awaiting, you know, kidney transplants and such, you know, in a couple of years, bada bing, bada boom, you know, just going down to Kodak or Postnet and they'll just quickly print you up a kidney. That, like, jokes, all jokes aside, that is like impressive. And I can't wait for that to be implemented, because I think it's going to save so many people's lives. It's just amazing.
It is. When I saw it the first time, I thought this is like you said, probably going to be the biggest things within the medical industry or medical side of things in the world. 100%.
I have to agree with you. It's just phenomenal.
You know, you wouldn't have been able to recall some of your facts inside of your brain if a memory surgeon had to remove them.
Whoa, okay, that was a very clever segue. Well done.
So, a memory surgeon is what the internet claims is going to be a job in the future, who can either add or remove memories from your brain. So imagine you bump your toe, and then you break your toe, and then you rolled over your dog and you killed it, and you never want to remember that again.
I should hope you don't want to remember that again.
Then you go to this memory surgeon.
I'm sorry, I'm just imagining this sequence of events. You know, somebody getting out of bed in the middle of the night to go drink some water, then they bump their toe and they fall over and they squash their dog.
I'm sorry that I had to put that inside of your mind. Hey, you can go to a memory surgeon to remove that.
That's incredible. But I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense if you think about sort of the science behind it. You know, memories are just electrical impulses that follow along a specific pattern in your brain. You know, they follow those specific synapses and then boom, there's a memory. So I guess the thought of it is quite easy, you know, just manipulate those electrical impulses and boom, the memory's gone. I'm sure it's a lot more complicated than that, but I mean, if the thought behind it is fairly simple, I'm sure that, you know, the idea is there and that people are working on it.
Yeah, so I don't really want to speak about this too much. It's messing with my brain. I don't know about you. I can't see someone sitting me down, putting me in a chair and removing my memories. Imagine he messes up and then boom, what's my name, James?
Yeah, I'm sure this is definitely something, you know, that's going to spark a lot of debate about, you know, ethics and morality, you know, whether something like this should be acceptable, you know, like, you know, you mentioned implanting memories or removing them. You know, I think that's something that makes us fundamentally human is, you know, memories and our ability to create them. And I think that the second you start messing around with stuff like that, it's quite easy to, you know, just be like, okay, I want to redesign everything about myself. You know, I want to implant a memory of me learning Japanese. Mm. And, you know, suddenly you're like a different person. So I don't want to get too deep into this, but I think this is definitely something that's going to be quite an interesting speaking point in the future when, you know, this does eventually come around.
No, hopefully we're still alive so we can do a podcast episode on it.
Well, welcome back to the Bros and Beers podcast, episode 9338. Today we're reviewing Skopnik bubble juice. it's an inverted beer. The bubbles travel downwards.
Oh my word, James. No, we need to. Okay, we're done with memory surgeons. I think you'd like this next point.
Ooh, tell me.
A commercial space pilot.
100%. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's weird. I've got a friend who is a aircraft mechanic and he wants to become a commercial pilot. And it's weird to think that it's becoming a reality where instead of thinking you're going to become a commercial pilot, you want to become a commercial space pilot.
Yeah, it's quite mind-blowing. But I guess if you start piecing the puzzle pieces together, you know, this isn't something that's far off.
Mm-mm.
You know, the space industry is really booming at the moment, you know, with what SpaceX is doing and ULA and Rocket Labs down in New Zealand. So if I'm not mistaken, SpaceX is trying to send people to the ISS like next year off of their new Starhopper spacecraft. And it'll be the first time that, you know, America's sent people to the ISS like they have instead of the Russians in many, many years. So if you just stretch your mind a little beyond that, you know, it's quite easy to think that within the next 20 years, there'll be pilots who are taking people to the moon and back regularly. So, this isn't as crazy as this sounds, it actually isn't, you know.
Not at all. You know, the crazy thing about it is I might be flying with a talking raccoon next to me. No, but I think this is something that next to the body/organ part designer is probably going to be coming to the world the soonest. Because, Elon is sending people to Mars to go live there. After a while, he wants to colonize Mars, and then you're going to need a commercial space pilot to take you there. Hello, this is your pilot speaking. This is going to be our trip to Mars. I hope you enjoy the flight.
It'll only take 7 months. So, you know, strap in for the long ride.
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. All's good.
Sorry. I apologize for that. But that's my list. There's a few other interesting ones. I think the one I read up that came up a lot was a trash designer. That's a dude that is taking trash and seeing if he can use it to build buildings or roads or create reusable gases and whatnot. I think that was pretty lame.
Yeah, I agree. You know, waste management has been something that's been around for ages, and you know, everybody's always trying to think of ways to innovate. So I think that's something that isn't a future, you know, like a crazy sci-fi job. It's something that's present right now. So I think, you know, some of the websites, they sort of just get carried away and they try to, you know, list as many as they can to get those clicks in. But I think the list we covered is it's a very realistic approach to future jobs. You know, YouTube and all of that stuff aside, these are all things that will have a profound impact on humanity. And I think, you know, the future is something to be excited for. You know, who knows, maybe kids one day, when they speak about jobs, they're not going to say, oh, I want to become an astronaut, because astronauts will be the equivalent of taxi drivers.
Yeah, probably.
You know, it'll be something that's so common. And I'm very excited to see where all of this leads. You know, who knows, maybe in the future it goes so far as to say that, you know, my role is a book writer, like a physical book writer, you know, because everything goes digital, you know.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think how maybe things reverse and suddenly sci-fi jobs then are like conventional things now, you know. Maybe everyone's a YouTuber in the future, and, you know, just regular everyday folk, they the the exquisite ones. Like, wow, you're a housewife? No way. You don't have the Android 3000 to do that for you?
And you're not vlogging it? Oh my word.
You should 100% start a channel. I think that'll be great. Or, you know, house man. Who knows? You know, we're all inclusive.
Or house robot. We never know.
Don't discriminate against androids.
They might come back and fight you.
Robot lives matter. I'm joking. That was a Star Wars reference to Solo, a Star Wars story. In there, there's an android that's like the android equivalent of a feminist.
Okay, James. Stop. I think we should stop speaking. Go grab a beer.
Yes, 100%. Let's go grab some beers. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to try out the Tafel Lager. Cheers, brother.
Cheers, but the one.
So, whilst Björn has his sip there, I'll sort of give some commentary on the beer. The first thing I noticed is that this beer doesn't hold its head very well. We poured it out not too long ago, and immediately sort of the head has settled. For those who don't know, the head is the layer of foam that you look for on top of a beer. So it's kind of disappointing. It's nice to sort of stick your nose in there whilst you have a sip, because it really fills your nostrils with the aroma with the aroma of the beer and aids the experience. So I'm sad that's not present, but nonetheless, I'm sure this will be great. Nonetheless, I don't know. You tell me. Whilst I have a sip here, what do you experience?
So you enjoy that sip, because I really enjoyed this first sip of this beer. Mm. It was refreshing, flavorful. It has a really nice body to it, something that I haven't experienced when drinking the beers that I usually buy.
Yeah.
And I really, really, really enjoyed this first sip.
I'm very pleased. Vian has been sort of neglecting Tafel Lager. I've been insisting we try it for a while now, because my uncle is a very big fan of it. And each time he's been like, no, let's do this instead. So I'm very pleased that now we can actually try it out. And it's a great beer. It is wonderful. Yeah,
thank you, James. Thank you for finally doing this. I was quite stubborn. We spoke about this earlier. The label is not the prettiest of labels we've ever seen.
Yeah, it's quite a bland looking bottle, to be honest.
And it threw me off, and I was like, no, this looks like a bland, boring beer. I don't want to taste it. But today I was like, no, this is the one.
Yes, I have to agree. You know, I've been insisting, but I've never tried it myself. And it's surprising how nice this beer is, because you really don't expect it. I mean, they don't advertise anywhere. You know, as I said, it doesn't have the most appealing looking label. So once you put all of that aside, you're like, no, let me just buy this beer for the sake of it, because it's well priced. And you greet it with this wonderful, refreshing, well-balanced beer. It's a surprise. It really is. And it's almost taken us aback just at how good of a beer this is.
No, I can agree with that. This beer is really good. It's a lager, and I love it.
All right. So enough sapping over this beer. Let's jump into the more constructive taste testing. Why don't you start us off with the color?
So like we say in the podcast up until now, is this beer is nice and golden color, what you expect from seeing in a beer. And therefore, I'm giving it a 5, because it's undifferentiated.
100%, I agree. 5.
Yeah, then next we've got bitterness.
Ah, so this is an interesting one. This, you know, this beer, it's bitter, but in a very pleasant way. Mm. It has everything we look for here at the Bros and Beers podcast. You know, it gives you a nice hopsy zing as you take that first sip. And it's stronger than a lot of other beers, which is really, really nice. You know, after a while, you know, drinking a lot of the previous beers we have, excluding Heineken, of course, that zing wasn't as prevalent. And to be greeted by that whilst drinking this beer is a wonderful surprise.
Yeah, no, I can agree completely. This beer, like I said earlier, is a full body experience, and it starts off with that initial bitterness, when it first enters your mouth. And I think that that's what hooked me when on my first sip is that bitterness, and therefore I'm giving the bitterness a 6.
Okay. You know, I was sort of thinking about it whilst you were speaking, and I grabbed another sip, and I was going to say 6.5, but I don't think that's the case. You know, now that we've poured it out into a glass and we're really getting a chance to appreciate it for what it is, I'm going to give this a 6. You know, it's slightly above average, but it's by no means bitter in a way you'd expect. It's a very flavorful bitterness. It's not just, you know, this like zing from the hops. No, it's the zing plus the flavor of the hops, which is really, really nice.
Yeah, I enjoy this a lot. So you grab another sip there, and then you tell me what you think of the beer's malt value.
So I don't think this is a very malty beer. You know, I think this is a good reference for a baseline malt value. Because of that, I'm going to give it a 5. You know, it's present and you can taste it, but it's not jumping out at you. You have to sort of really know what malt tastes like for you to be able to taste it within this beer. It is present, but it's by no means overpowering. It's almost the hop sort of overshadows it ever so slightly, but it's there. It's there in the aftertaste. It's great.
You couldn't have said it any better. I agree 100%, and therefore I'm also giving this a 5.
Now, onto the one we always laugh about, fruitiness.
James, this is the best apple beer ever. They juice 11 apples into this.
Enough of the jokes. 0.
Yeah, straight up 0.
From there, this is going to be a great one to speak about. Aftertaste.
This is a really, really pleasant aftertaste. We always referred back to how many beers can we drink before going for a glass of water, for example. And I feel I can drink this all night long without having any issues of going for water, because this is a really, really, really pleasant aftertaste.
You know, I agree. I'm going to give this a 3. You know, I initially, like when I first had the sip, I was going to say 4. But now that I'm sort of getting into it and beginning to appreciate the beer for what it is, as you said, it's wonderfully refreshing. The hops dies down, and then the malt dies down, and then you're left with this very subtle beeriness. Excuse me. I beg your pardon, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's one of the downsides of drinking beer is the gas. But it's a wonderful aftertaste. It's wonderfully refreshing. I can see why Namibia loves this. You know, it's hot as hell up there. And, you know, on a hot summer's day, you know, this beer, wow.
No, I agree 100%. And therefore, I'm going to give this an aftertaste of 2.
Ooh, okay.
Very, very low. I don't think I've enjoyed an aftertaste as much as I've enjoyed this aftertaste.
Yeah, I agree. Right, moving on from there. This is an interesting one to speak about. Exotic value. What do you think?
Yo, I don't expect to see this beer anywhere we go. This is definitely a beer that will turn my head. I would walk into a bar and I'd see someone drinking a Tafel and be like, what are you drinking? And now I can understand why they're drinking it, because this is a really amazing beer.
Yeah. And you know, something I want to comment on is that this beer is perplexing, especially with its exotic value. Now, I'm going to rate it quite high, but it's interesting because normally you associate exotic value with something that's flashy or extremely different. Like if you take the Grolsch bottles with the resealable pop caps, you know, that's something that'll be like, wow, you know, that's extremely exotic. However, when it comes down to this beer, it's almost unassuming in its label and its design. It's very easy to walk by and not even realize, you know, it doesn't really draw your attention. It's basically got the same color scheme as Castle, you know, with the red, white, and gold. So it's something we're sort of accustomed to seeing, you know, that sort of color scheme. However, you know, it's so unbelievably rare, you know, especially here in Joburg, to see someone drinking Tafel Lager. So it's the sort of binary between it being an incredibly rare beer to see around, but at the same time be an almost unassuming beer at the same time. You know, and with all of this in mind, I'm going to give this an exotic value of 7. I wouldn't say it's the most exotic thing I've ever seen, but this is definitely something that's going to catch my attention simply because it's so rare to see.
No, I agree 100%. Thank you for that wonderful explanation. My
no
explanation
problem.
Was cut a bit short. Vian, come on, you need to focus. This beer is just amazing. I am dumbstruck about how amazing this beer is. I'm also going to give it a 7. Like you said, I don't think this is the most exotic beer, but it's definitely up there. And I appreciate the people who drink Tafel Lager from now on.
100%. You know, those people have really good taste in beer.
The one.
Ah, Lacquer Factor. Yes. So, this is definitely going to score high. You know, we've done nothing but gush over how good this beer is. You know, and it's a goodness across the board, you know. It's from the flavor to its price. You know, this is a very attractive beer all around.
Mm.
And I, like, you know, I'm scared to say this. But now that we've like really gotten a chance to appreciate this beer, this might be my favorite beer, like from this point onward.
No, I'm there with you, bro. Like,
and it's like those are strong words to say. I don't know. Like, it just tell me what's going through your head.
No. I am gonna give this beer a chance. I'm at this point after drinking this. If I have my favorite beer in the fridge, I know we said this within our first and second episode. If this beer is in the fridge next to my favorite beer, today is the day I decide my favorite beer can stay in the fridge. I am grabbing myself a Tafel Lager, and that, James, is why I'm giving this an 8.5.
I agree. You know, this is it's weird because it's so unassuming. This beer draws so little attention, and you almost don't want it to be your favorite beer simply because it's boring, you know?
It looks boring.
It's unassuming. It's not popular. It's everything that you wouldn't expect out of someone's favorite. But I think... Give me a second. Let me just have a sip here.
Insert dramatic music.
Yeah, insert a dramatic music because this is a big moment. Nine.
Yo. I wanted to give this a 9 as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in that same boat you was like, can this really be my favorite beer? So I'm going to keep this an 8.5 and give this beer a chance.
You know, I've had a thought. I'm going to move it down to an 8.5. Now, the reason I say that, you know, initially when you start drinking this beer, it's wonderful. It's full-bodied. But now that we've sort of gotten through this bottle and I'm beginning to get to the end, the flavor profile is kind of dying down.
Mm.
That boldness that was there sort of dying down. That zinginess dying down. You know, and that's not necessarily a bad thing because it means you can drink these things easily.
Mm.
However, it's nice to have a beer with presence. You know, we spoke about this with Vintook.
Mm.
How, excuse me. Oh, my word. How... You know, we spoke about this with Vintook, how it was lacking body and lacking presence, and that's why we sort of graded it so averagely. You know, hints of that are like beginning to shine through now.
Mm.
So I'm going to give it an 8.5 because I think it would be nice if this beer was more present throughout the drinking process.
Mm.
However, you know, 8.5 is still ridiculously high.
Yeah.
And this is easily one of my favorite beers next to another beer that will be, you know, having a taste test of in the future.
Yeah.
We'll chat about that a little later. But yes, Tafel Lager, ladies and gentlemen, as of today, my new favorite beer coming in at a lacquer factor of 8.5. cheers to that.
Cheers to that. I am right there with you. It's weird, and I think I'm going to give it a chance. Maybe in a later episode we can discuss if it is still our favorite. But I've got a hunch that this is going to stay my favorite because it is attractive all around the board, like you said earlier. And I think that's why this is going to become my new favorite beer.
Yeah, it's interesting. I almost want to move, like almost start the tasting again, simply because now like the flavor profile is so different to what it was initially. However, you know, I think it's important to grade something on its initial taste because that's where you make your decision. You know, you're not going to finish a six pack of beer and then be like, oh, I don't like this anymore. You know, after like your first couple of sips, you're going to be like, eh.
I don't want to drink this anymore.
This isn't for me. Hey, you know, can I have a castle or something instead? So I think that's why I'm not going to go back and change any of my values. But yes, this is a great beer. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't tried Tafel Lager, we cannot recommend it enough. It's surprising how enjoyable this beer is. And I think it'll take you by surprise as well.
Yeah, so like James said, I highly recommend if you have not tried Tafel Lager to go out and get a Tafel Lager, drink it, and let us know what you thought. Did it catch you by surprise? If it did, tell us why. If it didn't, tell us why. If you are a Tafel Lager drinker, if this is your favorite beer or not.
Yes, please let us know. And I think sort of to round off this sort of tasting experience, you know, the pros to Tafel Lager, I mean, it's prevalent throughout our tasting. It's wonderfully refreshing. It's crisp. It's got a nice bitterness and aftertaste. I think one of the downsides to this beer is that maybe, you know, the body and the presence dies down a little. But maybe that's to its advantage because it almost entices you to get another one. So that could be a pro or a con in sort of your opinion. But yes, I'm so pleased we tried this out. This was great.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, James.
Got you, buddy.
I think we found our new favorite beer, and it's all because of you. I mean, you went down in like, you know what, Vian, screw you. I'm getting this today, and we're going to drink it.
You have no decision in the matter. I just rocked up at your house with it. I'm like, we're doing it. I don't care what you say. It's done.
And I love it, and I thank you for that. And I think on that note is a good time to say cheerio. My name is Vian.
My name is James. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to check out our show notes for our social media. We look forward to your opinions and your thoughts on Tafel Lager. You'll be seeing us around. From all of us here at the Bros and Beers podcast, have a wonderful day. Cheers.
Cheers, guys.